Charisma Quotient. I'm your host, Kim Seltzer, a dating and makeover expert, where I will help you build confidence, make connections, and find love from the outside in. More and more people over the age of 40 are wanting to date again after divorce, widowhood, or being in a long-term relationship in midlife. And you might be that person. It's almost as if you took off in a rocket ship and you've been orbiting this earth for years. And just as you get plopped down into the same earth, the door goes up of the rocket ship. And you walk out into the same earth, but it looks different, right? Like there's a bunch of aliens walking around who you have to learn how to talk to date with, to flirt with again. And it's wildly different time and place where you have to learn how to navigate the brave new world of modern dating, let's face it. And it's filled with swiping on apps and social media and texting and learning a new language and terminology like ghosting and hardballing and cuffing and cobwebbing and breadcrumbing and having Riz. Have you heard of any of those things? If you haven't, you definitely have to at least ask your kids. Some of them will know that. But the list goes on. And you have to learn or relearn skills like flirting and getting new dating clothes, opening up your body language, figuring out where to even go to meet people your age. And you have the risk of opening up again in a fast-paced way. And this seems to be like how it is these days, right? Like relationships tend to start and end almost like in an instant. And if that isn't enough, throw on top of the fact that you are going through midlife and trying to find some fulfillment. Look, midlife comes with a lot of challenges. I mean, our bodies droop, sexuality can fade, there's a lot more responsibility at work, you can be more set in your ways and resistant to change. There are more people to take care of. Sometimes it's kids, it's parents, it's friends, all who need your attention. It is not easy. So I don't want to like start this episode and depress you because really at the same time as we're navigating all this, when we orient toward a more mature kind of dating and relationship, it can actually be awesome. Like there is an amazing potential for deeper love and even more passion as we age. And this is why I was obsessed with The Golden Bachelor, because it highlighted how beautiful dating and relationships can be in the second act. And some of you may have heard, I was recently on Tamron Hall's show, and I was actually sitting next to the Golden Bachelor, Gary himself, and we were talking about the challenges of dating later in life. And I talked about how fun it can be as there is a sense of freedom and resources that you've never had. So then you can do a lot of things, you know, especially when you were younger and maybe didn't have the budget to do that. And we discussed ways of being intentional and putting yourself out there to meet people. And I feel like that is the biggest sticking point. How do you get out of your own way and get back out there? I remember I was working with a client and he was in his 70s when he came to me. He had lost his wife and he had been married for 30 years and a total like fish out of water. And he's like, Kimmy, I do not know where to start. And I have to say, I feel like his clothes looked like where the rocket took off, probably still from the 1990s. And so, you know, I took him under my wing and I said, you know, the first thing we really need to do is get you a new look. And we went shopping and I got him some things that had a little bit of edge to him and he was feeling good and he was kind of had a swag while he was walking. And then we went out in the field and we just practiced talking to women and flirting and just understanding this kind of new life that was separate from the couplehood that he had known. So the midlife kind of crisis sometimes, whether you're married or even dating, can almost be a time for emancipation. It's a time to reinvent yourself and see what it is that you want, what it is you don't want. And then you have to learn how to go get it. And so in this client's case, he did. And he started dating up a storm. He put his new pictures up online. And he, like, I always say I created a monster. He loved it. He was having so much fun. He didn't even want to get into a relationship, which was great because it was helping him understand to date without getting attached so that he could learn about himself. And today he's dating a wonderful woman. He doesn't know where it's going to go, but he doesn't care. He's really being present with it and having fun. Fun. That is the key. So there are definite pluses to dating in midlife. In theory, you are wiser, more sure of yourself, and you have accomplished many of your big life goals. I say in theory, because intellectually you may know that. But putting yourself out there and taking action to try something new after all these years is easier said than done. So with me on the line today is a fantastic guest who I had the pleasure of meeting at a podcast summit. And he is passionate about helping people go through midlife seasons. He is a seasoned podcaster himself who has published over 500 episodes since 2013, probably more than that by now. He knew he wanted to host a podcast about midlife, but he didn't know exactly what about midlife to discuss. And then after some research, he discovered that we actually spend most of our adult lives in midlife seasons. And he surveyed his LinkedIn connections and discovered that 78% of them were less than totally fulfilled. And the Midlife Fulfilled podcast launched. That was where it was born in February of 2022. He is now passionate about helping others go through midlife and how you can be fulfilled in five pillars of midlife. And he's going to talk about that. So welcome, Bernie Borges. Are you there?
Thank you, Kimmy. Thank you so much. I'm so glad to be with you. I'm really excited for the conversation. And wow, what a story you just told. It was kind of scary. I can't imagine being in the dating scene. I haven't been in the dating scene for almost 40 years.
Oh my gosh. Well, and that's just it. And, you know, thank you for coming on, by the way. I had so much fun on your podcast because we did have this juicy discussion about, you know, midlife and what that all means in terms of relationships and love and dating and all that. I know. And also that it has so many implications in different areas of our life. And I'm just glad that someone like you is really focusing on it because it is a different era than even like our grandparents' era, where never before have we lived as long as we're living, and we have a chance to do so many more things because we have more things at our disposal. But like, it gets hard to navigate it all. So anyway, I was excited for this conversation too. I always like to, you know, start with your story because I know a little bit because we had some great conversations, but I don't know all of it. So how did you like just become so passionate about the midlife thing?
Yeah. So as you mentioned, I've been podcasting for about 10 years and I've had four different shows, and I was kind of in between shows in 2021. And so I was thinking about what's my next podcast. So I thought I want to do something around midlife because it's a topic that I've been thinking about, and it kind of baffled me just starting with the basic question of what is midlife? And I started doing some research on it. And so I came up with some understanding of what midlife is. And if you'd like, I'd like to go there. And then in my research, I came across a lot of people talking about midlife happiness, midlife crisis, of course, right? And then I stumbled across the concept of fulfillment. And I went, huh, wait a second. So isn't fulfillment the same thing as happiness? Well, the short answer is no. There's a little bit of a longer answer, meaning I can explain why it's not the same. And that was it, Kimmy. That was it. Like that, the light bulb went off. I just said, okay, I need to focus in on. I also found that nobody of the bazillion midlife podcasts that are out there, and there really, there are many, 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 I didn't find any focused on fulfillment. None.
Wow. Wow. That's awesome. Well, yeah, let's get into it a little bit because fulfillment is also a big word, right? And that can mean different things for different people based on different areas of their life too. But I want to actually get up close and personal more with you because I'm interested in your intrigue around midlife. Like, were you going through something in your midlife that also inspired this?
So yes, the short answer is yes. And I struggle with that because, you know, I feel very blessed, you know, married 36 years, two wonderful adult children who are married themselves and now have young children. You know, they're gainfully employed and completely off the payroll, and they're nice human beings, you know. You know, my career has been okay. I can't complain about it. So I've had all these things going for me, but yet I didn't feel totally fulfilled. And I couldn't understand why. I really struggled with that. And that's when I dug into it. And I came up with this analogy, Kimmy, and that is that if I look at my life, and I'm going to speak in the first person, but I mean this for anybody who's listening.
Yeah.
So this is not about me. This is for anybody listening. If I look at my life as an ocean and try to understand why I'm not fulfilled, that is analogous with the old cliche that's like trying to boil the ocean. Instead, I said, let me look at the aspects of my life, the different distinct aspects of my life, and look at them uniquely, individually, and how they all come together into my life. So instead of one big ocean, let me look at the five lakes that make up, you know, the body of water that is my life. And that's where I came up with the five pillars of midlife. And if we can look at each of the five pillars and really assess how we're doing, how we feel fulfilled in each of the five pillars, then it's much easier for us to understand and just kind of come to a level of self-awareness on where we are. And it helped me understand where I was very fulfilled and where I was lacking fulfillment.
That's really interesting. You know, and I'm glad that you just were vulnerable enough to say, you know, look here, I had everything, you know, the house, the picket fence, the wife, the kids, and everything seems to go on as planned, but that doesn't necessarily mean happiness and fulfillment. And, you know, because someone might be listening to this or looking at someone like you is like, well, why is he on here? You know, like, he's got it. He's got it all.
And I'm not dating also.
Yeah. And you're not dating. Right. Right. But the truth is that it doesn't matter. You know, it's funny. And I want to hear about the five pillars in a second. It just hot off the press. Cause I just got off a call with a client and I hadn't talked to her in a while. And she's just like, Kimmy, I've been embarrassed because I haven't reached out in a year. And I thought I could do it. You know, like she was dating but she was going from man to man to man because she couldn't stop just being by herself and feeling fulfillment. And so she was using men to fill her up. And she now is just starting to realize, you know, and like, she's like, wow, I need to take care of me and slow down and not like just numb out and get the validation from the men. Cause all the men also had a pattern with them not being available to her. So, you know, I am glad that you're mentioning that and also how that relates to everything in our life. Like, and if you're not fulfilled in one area, but fulfilled in another, there's a gap there. And like, what do you do about it? So yeah, like, I'd love to hear the five pillars and what that all means.
So these five pillars that I'm going to share, they're really foundational across our entire lifespan. But what I'm discovering, and it's part of my journey, like I'm discovering this, is that we don't really begin to give ourselves permission to think this way until we reach a certain season of life. Loosely speaking, it's over 40. Again, loosely speaking. Okay. So here are the five pillars. Health is the first one. It's foundational. We all want to have as good a health as we can possibly have. The second one is fitness. Yes, fitness and health are closely tied to each other, but the reason I make a distinction is because health is both physical health and mental health. That's a big enough lake or pillar for us to focus on, to be fulfilled or be working on fulfillment in our health, both physical and mental, particularly since there are many things in our physical health that we can't control. You know, there are just many things we just don't have control over. Fitness is about being functional. It's not necessarily about winning some bodybuilding contest or even, you know, for women being in a bikini. It's about being functional. It's about being able to do the things you need to do on a regular basis. The third pillar is career. We spend most of our waking lives in career. And obviously we start our career very young and we go through many different seasons in our career. It is not uncommon, and Kimmy, I'm sure you can speak to this personally as well as many people you know. It's not uncommon to wake up in your 40s or whatever age and go, I'm no longer fulfilled with what I've been doing for the last 20, 25 years. That mm-hmm. happens all the time. So career is the third pillar. The fourth pillar is relationships. That's a big one. Because mm-hmm. think about it. It spans all kinds of relationships. There's significant other, right? So if you're married, that's a spouse. Friends, family, immediate yeah. family. Friends you've made inside of work, outside of work, community. The list is endless on the types of relationships that we have. So having fulfillment in relationships. And the fifth one, which is the most complicated one, is legacy. Legacy is, what's the impact that you want to have on fill in the blank? What's the impact you want to have on your family, your community, a cause, whatever it is that you want to have an impact on? And in many cases, not all, but in many cases, we don't really begin to think about that until some later years in life. When we're younger, we're too busy kind of in the rat race, you know, going through the career and the family thing, if that's what we're doing. We're just busy, 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 busy. We're not thinking about what's our legacy until we reach a certain decade and we start to think about that. So those are the five pillars. Just a quick repeat. Mm-hmm. Health, fitness, career, relationships, and legacy. So thinking about your life across those five pillars gives you a sense of sanity in terms of like, okay, I'm really fulfilled in my career, but I'm not so fulfilled in my relationships, or I'm really fulfilled in my relationships, but boy, I haven't worked out in 20 years. I really need to focus on fitness, you know, or whatever the mix is for you. And I end every episode of my podcast, my Midlife Fulfilled podcast, saying, if you're 80% fulfilled, you're doing great. Because think about it, Kimmy, for anybody to be 100% fulfilled across those five pillars, that's superhuman.
Yeah, that's not realistic. Exactly. And actually, then there's no room to grow. There's no room to like strive for. And I think that's part of the wonderful thing about being in the midlife era, if you will, is that, like I was saying in the beginning, it's a time that you could really reinvent yourself and maybe what you wanted back in your 20s that you were fulfilled back then in that area of your life, you're not feeling it, you know, now, or you want something different. Like you said, I love what you said about the fitness thing is like right now, I have no desire to go skiing. I value my bones too much. Like I'm good just stretching and doing yoga. And I'm so grateful that I have my body to do that. Back in my 20s, that would not have been fulfilling right. to have my body. Right. I wanted, you know, everything to look a certain way. And that, so I love that you make kind of that distinction too. Well, and through your journey, as you were looking at these different pillars, did you figure out why you weren't fulfilled? Like what was the area that was missing for you?
Certain aspects of my career, I'm not totally fulfilled in. But the big one is legacy. That's the big one.
Oh.
Yeah. That's the one that I'm most focused on. Certainly some relationships as well, because again, we have many different aspects of relationships, right? Many different types of relationships. So there's some of that going on as well. As I mentioned, some of that in my career as well. You know, I still feel like I've got a lot left in my career. I'm in my mid-60s and I want to continue to work for a long time, because careers are also tied to legacy for me as well, because I want my career to impact my legacy fulfillment, right? And the podcast is a stepping stone. This podcast is a stepping stone for that. Reaching more people and helping them become more self-aware of how to achieve more, you know, greater fulfillment, you know, is part of that legacy fulfillment that I'm chasing.
You know, as you were talking, I was thinking about like just different people that I've worked with and, you know, when they complain about different areas of their life or things that they want to learn and grow in. It's interesting because as you're distinguishing these pillars, you know, as a therapist, I say, well, what shows up in one area of your life often leaks into others. And so what can show up as a strength in one area can actually end up being the weakness or the lack of fulfillment in another. So like I'll have a lot of high achievers and, you know, people who are very successful in business come to me and say like, Kimmy, every part of my life is awesome. Like I have friends, I have this amazing career, my kids are good, you know, everything feels like really great. But this one area, when it comes to love and relationships, that's what has always been so hard for me. But then come to find that what is causing them trouble in love is what makes them so brilliant in business. And so it's an interesting like thing to think about and how we define the fulfillment as well. I don't know if you ever thought about that.
I'm glad you went there because I would be remiss if I didn't bring up what is fulfillment. Because remember, that was part of my story, right?
Right.
You know, what is fulfillment? And I've put a lot of thought into this and I've done some research on it. So this is not just Bernie's definition of fulfillment, you know, without doing some research on it. First, let me talk about happiness. And because I want to make a distinction between happiness and fulfillment. We all want to be happy. Everybody wants to be happy. Happy is an emotion. And the emotion of happiness can be fleeting. It can last a little time or it can last a long time or anything in between. It can last minutes, hours, days, weeks, months, years, depending on the aspect, the element of happiness, right? But it is an emotion. It's something you feel. Fulfillment is more about an achievement. Now, I don't mean just a career achievement, but something that you have achieved. And it's more than a feeling. It is something that is deeper in your soul. And here's the key distinguishing factor of fulfillment. This is what really usually lights the light bulb for people. And that is that fulfillment is immutable. It is immutable. It is permanent. Once you have fulfillment about something, nothing can take that away because it's an achievement of some sort. So you have fulfillment from that achievement, and it can be across those five pillars.
That's really interesting. I'm so glad you distinguished between those two. And so what would that look like? I mean, I know the answer, but I would love for you to share. Like, what would that look like in dating and relationship pillar if somebody is fulfilled?
I think it's, well, as I mentioned, I haven't dated for, you know, 40 years, but by the way, I did a lot of dating before I got married. I got married at age 30. So I did a lot of dating in my 20s.
Oh, so you did it. Yeah.
But it was a long time ago. It was a long time ago. Yeah. But it wasn't like I married my high school sweetheart and I did a lot of dating. So, but to your question, back to your question, I think it is really, I use this word already, self-awareness, like being self-aware of who is something that is complementary to me. And maybe, I don't know if complementary is the right word, good for me and me good for that individual. Being self-aware of what, you know, where there's a good fit. I'm not talking necessarily a permanent relationship, just a fulfilling dating relationship, right? Where you can be yourself and you can enjoy yourself and you look forward to the next time you're going to be together. And when you're together, you know, you enjoy it. That's fulfilling. And being aware of why you're enjoying that relationship, not just unawareness. It's the concept of a conscious competent, right? A conscious competent is someone who's competent in something and they know why. An unconscious competent is someone who's good at something and they don't know why. They kind of wing it. In this case, it's not an unconscious competent. It's an unconscious dater versus a conscious dater. Like a conscious dater knows what's a good match for them. Even if it's not a permanent match, but they know what's a good match versus what's not a good match.
Yeah, this is such a good conversation too, because again, like high achievers, because you know how we're talking about achievement and fulfillment. A lot of high achievers might listen to this and they'll be like, well, I didn't have success because I'm not married and living happily ever after. And what I'm hearing you say, and I'm glad you're defining it this way, is that, you know, success and achievement is within, right? Like it's whatever you achieve from that relationship, because, you know, you don't have to be married for a long time and find your soulmate to be successful in relationships and dating. Like each relationship that maybe you've had in your life have been fulfilling in that era of time until it wasn't. Right. And sometimes there's an expiration date of fulfillment. You know, like, well, all right, I got to move on to the next, you know, thing that might fulfill me in this area of my life. And that's really important, especially if you're dating in the midlife era, because, again, what was fulfilling in your 20s is not fulfilling when you're in your 50s. So that exactly. That is, yeah, really important.
Now, I want to come back to something you just said, Kimmy, because you said fulfillment can have an expiration date. And when that happens, there's a reason that that happens. And the reason is your values change. Our values change as we age. True. Now, I'm not talking core moral values. Mm. I'm just saying the things that are important to us change over the decades as we go through the aging process. So as your values change, somebody that may have been a good dating relationship 10 years ago may not be a good dating relationship now if your values have shifted in some way. You know, you said earlier, you know, you don't want to go skiing and you gave a reason you'd rather do the yoga thing, right? And you know, if you're with someone who just wants to go skiing all the time, well, from a value standpoint, like you value fitness, but skiing is not the way you're gonna feel fulfilled in that regard, right?
Right.
So, you know, maybe a silly example, but it's just an example of our values change. When those values change, that's what changes your fulfillment quest, you know, or your lack of fulfillment, or your ability to understand how to find fulfillment again in a certain area of your life. If you just understand how your values change.
And what I love about this so much is that, you know, I think a lot of times people get caught up in what society says or what is, you know, supposed to be fulfilling, especially when it comes to dating relationships. And obviously this podcast is focused on this, so I'm kind of like narrowing that pillar. But, you know, I think what's so beautiful about nowadays, especially if you're dating in midlife, like anything goes. Like it could be fulfilling to have a situationship. It could be fulfilling to have, you know, friends with benefits. It could be fulfilling to have a traveling buddy. You know, like it to your point, it's what you value in this part of your life. And I just think that's so great. And it takes some of the, like, maybe even overwhelm out of things, because I think people are on this constant quest of fulfillment and knowing that if this is just enough in this time of your life, then it's enough. You're feeling good.
Kimmy, you just nailed it. And not only did you nail it on that point you just made, it's an understatement. So many people, again, back to self-awareness, are putting all this pressure on themselves unnecessarily. And so again, back to my legacy fulfillment chase, right? If I can help people understand that, first of all, there's five pillars to look at, don't look at the whole ocean. That's your entire life. Look at the five pillars and look at each one of them individually. And then where you're lacking fulfillment, then just do a value assessment. How are your values? What are they today versus what they were 5, 10, 20 years ago?
I love it.
And to your point, it can be overwhelming, but it doesn't have to be. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be.
Well, and then, you know, what I do a lot of times with my clients is just like extracting, and maybe you have some ideas too around, well, what are some action kind of pieces or things that you can do in your life that can create that fulfillment in those different areas of your life, you know? And to me, that also can take the overwhelm out of it. Like, do you have any suggestions or like things that you usually, you know, work on with people when they don't feel fulfilled in those different areas?
Yeah, it begins with what we're discussing here is looking at your life across the five pillars and not one big ocean trying to boil the ocean. Look at your life across the five pillars. Ask yourself, how fulfilled are you in each of those pillars? And then which is the one that's least fulfilled? And and just ask yourself, you know, which are the ones that are the highest priority? You know, is, I'm just going to use randomly, is relationships one that needs the most attention? Sure, maybe fitness is not where you want it to be, but maybe relationships is more important for you in your fulfillment. You know, if you have some broken relationships that you need to deal with, you know, maybe that's more important than fitness, although I don't condone ignoring fitness, at any level, but I'm just, you know, making the point that look at each pillar, assess how you are in each pillar fulfilled, and then decide where you're going to focus. And then again, correlate that back to your values. Mm-hmm. So if you say you're not fulfilled in relationships, why? Ask yourself why. And how have your values changed? Again, it keeps coming back to your values. And it can simply help you understand and take some of that overwhelm away that you mentioned, which again is a huge point, and let you begin to focus in on the right things instead of trying to boil the ocean and look at your life as one big ocean. Look at it as these five pillars and hone in on where you need to hone in on.
Yeah, I love that. And with that, I can imagine it being really helpful to prioritize, because say that health and fitness is something that's really impacting your sexy confidence, then it's going to be hard to feel fulfilled in your dating and relationship pillar. So then prioritize health and fitness, because as you start feeling better in your body and feeling really good looking in the mirror, then you're going to walk out into the world differently with sexy confidence and be easier to date. See, I think they all can work together. That's what is cool about it. But if we like the fact that you're compartmentalizing it, I think just makes it more digestible and easier to look at different things you can do in each of these pillars to start, you know, kind of building on that fulfillment. So
exactly. You know, you just gave me a thought. I even though I'm not in the dating scene, I can imagine, because of the way my mind is working around these five pillars, that if I was in the dating scene, that I probably would be having conversation around whether or not I would name them the five pillars. I don't know. But I would be, you know, having conversation around, you know, the pillars from the standpoint of, you know, well, you know, I'm very blessed with good health right now. And here's, you know, how I'm handling fitness, and here's where I am with in my career. You know what I mean? So I think that I would communicate in a way that I'm thoughtful about these different aspects of my life, instead of just this one big ocean that I keep referring to, you know, in the boiling the ocean metaphor.
Yeah, no, it's brilliant. And oh my God, I was like looking at the time, like, oh my God, this is awesome. I could go on and on about this. We do have to wrap up, but I was wondering if there was any just kind of last words of wisdom that you wanted to share around all this. And please, like, let everybody know where they can find your podcast. And I know that there's things that you're working on with these five pillars.
Yeah. Thank you, Kimmy. I've really enjoyed our conversation. You know, closing thought is kind of a summary of what we've been discussing here. And that is, you know, don't put unnecessary pressure on yourself to think that you should be 100% fulfilled. Because again, I think that would be super, super human of anyone. Look at your life across the five pillars, assess how you feel in terms of fulfillment across each one of them, assess how your values have changed. And then to your point, you know, my podcast is the Midlife Fulfilled Podcast. It's everywhere you listen to podcasts. The website is midlifefulfilled.com. And I don't know when this is going to release, but I do have a checklist coming out soon across the five pillars. So depending on when this releases, just go to midlifefulfilled.com. And there is a checklist across the five pillars that lets you do a little assessment to see how you're feeling. And one thing I'm recommending is that you do the assessment periodically. It's not a one and done thing, you know, do it and then maybe revisit it in a month or a quarter or whatever. And it kind of helps you understand where you are and where you want to be.
Oh, I love that. Bernie, thank you so much for coming on and sharing your wisdom and thoughts. And so glad that we met.
Likewise. Thank you so much, Kimmy. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. And thanks for joining me today. You listening. This has been the Charisma Quotient. I'm your host, of course, Kimmy Seltzer. And remember, you can build confidence, make connections, and find love from the outside in. And if you want to know more, make sure you go to my site, as always, KimmySeltzer.com. And if you are struggling with being fulfilled in your dating life, you know, just I offer these free calls, people. I always say, yes, it's me. It's not a bot. It's not my assistant. It really is me on the call. I would love to just hear where you're getting stuck and help you make a plan so that you feel more fulfillment in this area of your life. So just click the link you see in the show notes and book that. And remember, working on you is working on your dating life. That's all for now.